If you're able, would you please stand in respect for God's word? I'm reading from Matthew 5, verses 27 through 32. You have heard it that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's certainly a special Sunday morning, and it's special because we're able to come together and worship the Lord. It's also Father's Day, and we're thankful for all of our fathers, and we pray that you'll be blessed today and that it will be a good day for you and your family. We are in the midst of a series on the Sermon on the Mount, Discipleship 101, and this text this morning is going to deal with our topic of our sexual relationships, and our world as it exists around that theme. Because I've been doing these titles, Disciples, in various categories, I put this one underneath Disciples Marriage. But as I got to looking at the text, it really, we're going to focus more in on that aspect of intimacy within a marriage. I want you to think about our world and the sexual relationship and all that we see in our current world today. Think about the image that is portrayed from magazines, from newspapers, from all the commercials that we see. It's amazing how whether it's a satellite TV company, whether it's a hamburger joint or franchise, whatever it is, it seems they try to use sex to sell. They use provocative commercials. They use very immodestly dressed actors or women often, or sometimes men, to portray that image. If you go even farther, you think about the incredible problem that internet pornography is. And how so many marriages and so many men and even women are being brought down in their own personal life and in their business and professional life and in their family life because of the problem. And it's as easy and is so accessible to teenagers and to all of us through our phones, through our computers. Think about that world that is out there today. Think about how sex is expected in casual and dating relationships and how premarital sex has become the norm. And how women especially, but men sometimes as well, live in the pressure of fitting in to a perceived sexual image. And that especially our young girls grow up in a world where they are expected and given a view, at least in our culture, that they're expected to have some type of a body. And this world gives off, this is the kind of body that if you really are going to be cool, if you're really going to have what the world says you need to have, you're going to be this small and have these curves in these places, then you're going to wear these kind of clothes. And think about what that says to our young girls growing up as they look at all the magazines and they watch our TV shows. That's the world that exists today, where affairs are common and where many people go into relationships because of that physical compatibility and what they hope to get out of that physically. And then when that fades and there's no more romance, there's no more, we might say, passion, then they look to someone else to provide that passion. That is our world. And it's growing increasingly more sexualized in its images and in its nature. And I take you to Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 32. And then Jesus imagined a world totally different. In fact, in this text, Jesus is going to talk about the world that then existed even for the Jewish people. And they didn't have all the internet things that we have, or all the magazines we have, and they didn't have all the radar movies or PG-13 movies and all the sexual images that come from all those. But they, in their culture, still had such a desire for this physical need. And there was the focus upon lust and self-gratification, and there was this really male-skewed focus where it was mainly focused on the men lusting after the women, it seems. And in this context, Jesus, in talking in the Sermon on the Mount, in talking to His community of believers, talking to His followers, He says, I want you to imagine a world that's completely different. You've heard in verse number 27 that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And then in verse number 31, he says, whoever divorces his wife from her, let her give her a certificate of divorce. This is what the culture said. The culture said, look, you can look at a woman, you can lust after a woman, you can linger long and enjoy the beauty of a woman as long as you don't actually take her in and commit adultery with her. Or also men or women can do that with men as long as they don't actually commit the act. That's what the culture said at that time. And then other people said when it involves marriage that, well, you can divorce. Just give them a certificate of divorce and move on. Jesus says, I want to tell you about the kind of people I expect you to be. And he gives us 3 points that I want you to consider the world that Jesus imagined, the world that Jesus proclaimed, the world that Jesus expected His believers to live in. And it's radically different than the world that we see today. First of all, lust is replaced with respect. Lust is replaced with respect. In verses 27 through 28, you've heard that it was said you should not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, lust is not just about looking, but notice, it's about making that other person into an object. You see, the problem with lust in the view of Jesus here is not only the sexual sensual nature of it, but really the heart of the issue for Jesus is it denigrates human dignity. And it's a selfish act of turning the other person into a physical object to be used. You see, it's not just appreciating beauty. There's a difference in attractive and being seductive. You see, it's being selfish and focusing on getting a sensual pleasure and satisfying your desires from the other person. It's making the other person into an object that you're only concerned not about their heart, you're not concerned about their person, you're not concerned about their soul, you're not concerned about their personality, but primarily what lust is about is it's about the outward skin. It's about getting your pleasure out of their physical body. Jesus says, think about what that does to human dignity. This is the thing that I think so many people that are involved in this in our culture, and we need to constantly emphasize this to ourselves, to our young people, to our men and women of all ages, that when we allow ourselves to either dress very immodestly and be a subject of lust, or when we are looking at the TV characters or the magazines, that we're really objectifying those people. And we're really focusing upon just their outward bodies. And those people are really selling their bodies. Think about what Jesus is trying to say is it's about the heart of the person. It's about the personality of the person. It's about human dignity, that there is more to life, there are more to people than just their outward bodies. And yet so many times we treat people in school, we treat people in our social settings, or maybe even treat people in our family based upon their outward bodies. Whether they're able to keep the body that maybe they want to keep, or whether they look like the world says they should look. And Jesus is saying, lust, it needs to be replaced with respect. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the next chapter over, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Jesus says, look, you get so wrapped up in food and clothing and all those things, and life is more than just what you have. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, he's really saying, look, that the body is more than just that sexual image. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in this passage, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and they wanted to focus upon their needs physically. And they say in verse 13, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Just because, and our culture grievously needs to hear this message, just because you have a need or a desire for something does not mean you have the right to something or entitled to the pleasure of it. You see, there needs to be respect for the other person. There's more to the people than just our outward images. And teenage girls, hear me. Teenage boys, hear me. And older people, hear me. It's not just about you being the hottest, best-looking girl in the school, or you having the hottest, best-looking girl to date. There's more to people. And we need to emphasize this. There's more to people than just their outward image. Lust needs to be replaced with respect. But number two, Christians are radical in their purity. Christians are radical in their purity. Notice verses 29 through 30. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away, for it is better than you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Notice that Jesus here is not talking, it seems, about physical maiming of ourselves. He's talking in an illustrative way. He's talking in hyperbole, where he makes the point exaggerated to emphasize his point. Because he's really dealing with the heart. True story about a man who came and he really took Jesus' message literally. I read this in a book about, and he poked out one of his eyes because he was struggling so much with lust. That he poked out one of his eyes. You know what he found? He found that his other eye struggle with lust too. And that the issue really isn't the eyes, but what Jesus is saying is the issue is the heart. And it begins with the relationship between our eyes, our hands, and our feet, because they influence our heart and us controlling our heart. In this context, Jesus says, blaming another is not permitted. Notice, he's not like the rabbi who, when he caught his neighbor who had bored a hole in his fence so he could look at his daughter, instead of being upset with his neighbor, he is upset at his daughter and says, the problem is, daughter, you are beautiful and you are ungodly and evil. You see, Jesus doesn't do that, does he? Jesus says, you can't fuss all day long about the movies and about the culture and about the internet and all these things that are out there. You've got to realize that it is your responsibility. Blaming is not permitted. Now this teaching also teaches us that yes, ladies,
And yes, men, there is a responsibility that we should have as Christians to want to dress modestly and appear modestly in our attire and our clothing, because we can lead others to sin. We can be a part in other people sinning in that sense. But we can't blame our failures on another. We can't say, well, it's those girls who wear all those clothes. Jesus says, cut your own hand off. Pluck out your own eye. Cut your foot off. You see, it is individual responsibility. He's talking about ruthless moral self-denial. He's talking about being radical. Now, one of the things I think we struggle with
on this topic is the world is so far, I'll use my left hand because we usually think about, the world is so far to the left. So far to the left in this issue. Our culture has gotten so sexualized. As I talk about all the images that we're saying and all of the immorality that goes on, that we as the church have been pulled and are often going down that current. And here's what we think. We think as long as we're not way over here, we're all right. As long as we're back a little bit. And what Jesus is saying in this text, and it's a challenge for me, for you, for all of us, is that Christian standards of holiness and morality demand high standards of purity. You see, it's not just enough for us to say, well, the world says just have casual sexual relationships with anybody you want. And so I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to have it. As long as I'm in a committed dating relationship, well, that's all right. We're going to get married. But the world says, well, the clothes you're supposed to wear are really awful. They show everything. But I'm just going to wear this that just shows a little bit. This is better. Jesus is saying no. Or I don't look at really hardcore stuff, but I may watch the provocative movie from time to time, but it's not really bad. See, Jesus is saying you've got to be radical in it. You've got to be radical in your purity, Christians. The world that Jesus imagined for his believers was one where his believers would stick out like a sore thumb in this world because we're radical in our purity. You see, Jesus says Christians are radical. Lust comes from the heart, and the heart is influenced by the eyes, what you see, by your hands, what you do, and by your feet, where you go. So how do we control this issue? We control what we see, we control what we do, and we control where we go. So radicalness often means we may have to cut what we see. Cut out our eyes in the sense of we cut out what we see. It might mean for some people getting the computers out in the open. It might mean having someone monitor our phone. It might mean paying for some services that actually monitor those things for us. It might be getting rid of cable TV. It might mean cutting the internet. It might mean quitting a job because of an emotional affair or a relationship that's leading to more. You see, it might involve getting very radical. Jesus says we have to be radical in our purity. So if you're going to control your heart, control what comes into your heart by what you see, what you do, and by where you go. And the third thing Jesus says in the world he imagined is that faithfulness to your marriage is priority. You see, Jesus knew that in this world, with all this lust and temptation out there, and remember, God made us. He created the manual. And God made the manual like this. Sex is not sinful in and of itself. Sex is good, and he created a human desire for us to have that, and it draws the couple together. And so Jesus says, I want you to know that what everybody says out there in this world is about how to get out of marriage. Even the Jewish people were arguing about what are the reasons for a divorce? What are the reasons that we can get out of this? And Jesus emphasizes the opposite. He emphasizes being faithful to our commitments. You see, Jesus says the world gets focused on divorce. Jesus says focus on your marriage. In the longer text from Matthew 19, Jesus will emphasize this in a more thorough way. When he is asked about the reasons for divorce. And he says in verse 4, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast or cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." Jesus says the emphasis is, be faithful to your commitments. In the world Jesus imagined, in the world Jesus wants his believers to live in, it's one where faithfulness is above physical desires and lustful intent. It's the one where we don't focus on self-gratification, where we don't focus on upon our own needs and whether our own needs are being met and whether the spouse is giving me all that I need and fulfilling me and making me happy, but rather it's the world that focuses upon the commitments and who the other person is. You see, it's replaced with respect. We'll come back to Matthew 19, but notice what Jesus is saying is that intimacy is truly gained by disciplined affection and commitment. The world says intimacy is gained by physical relationships and lust, and that's what it is, where relationships are about self-gratification, happiness, and what you're getting out of it. But Jesus says the opposite. Jesus says that true intimacy and marriage is about more than your body. It's about more than passion or lust or how your bedroom life is. You see, it's about loving the whole person and really being committed. You see, intimacy is more than just physical acts. It's about being faithful and putting the marriage as a priority. Now, let me put a pen down. The parentheses is Ephesians 5, where Jesus talks through the Holy Spirit there and Paul about the beauty of marriage. But now I want to come back from that, and I want you to go to verse number 9 of Matthew 19 and back to Matthew 5, and we'll bring this because I want to not miss this. As Jesus answers their question, he says, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality," notice, he does answer the question, and he does put, what have I been talking about? What's the overall context about? This holy relationship of intimacy, the one flesh union, that the world is so messed up of sex. And Jesus says, that is a reason. In fact, he says, it's the only reason that you are allowed to put that marriage away and then marry another. It shows the value, the sanctity, and the importance that God puts upon marriage and upon sexual union. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5, the text that we're studying from. "Therefore I say to you, whoever divorces his wife," you see, that's the wrong focus, the divorce of his wife. The focus should be upon the marriage, as Jesus said in Matthew 19, and is he talking about here. But he says, except on the ground of sexual immorality. In other words, here's the math formula Jesus uses. Divorce plus remarriage equals adultery. That's what he says in Mark's account, Luke's account. That's what he says here in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19. But there's one exception to this math formula. There's one exception to this rule, if you will. When there has been fornication or adultery committed, and then Jesus allows that marriage to be severed in God's sight and someone to contract a new marriage. In the world, Jesus expected for his believers. In the world, Jesus wanted us to live in. He shares three things. But here's the question for us. You and I are not raising our kids in a world like that out there. We're not being married in a world like Jesus describes out there. We're not living in a world where temptation and lust and all the sexual images are like Jesus would describe here. That's not the world. Jesus clearly understood that's not the world that exists.
But it is the world Jesus wanted us to live. You see, in the world Jesus wants us to be, lust will be replaced with respect. No longer would women be selling their bodies just so people could gawk after them and sell things because of them. And no longer would Christians be more like the world than like Christ, but Christians would be radical in their purity. And no longer would be divorce be argued about and sought to get out of, but marriage would be sacred and lifelong. Now here's the thing for all of us.
And this is the challenge of the Sermon on the Mount. Let us be the world that Jesus imagined. We've got to live that out in our individual lives and individual situations. We've got to replace lust with respect. We've got to be radical in our purity. And we've got to be faithful in our marriage. And remember that the other people, and then our marriages and other things, they're about more than our bodies. And your worth and your personal dignity and your soul is worth more than your body. And you're more valuable than just whether you are physically attractive, as the world says physically attractive is to be. That's the world Jesus wants us to live every day. And if we live that world, you'll go right back to Matthew chapter 5, 16. You'll be that light that shines in the world. And others will see your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.